Hey, today's podcast is a 757 League Rules Meeting recap, but if you're not part of our local league, you're welcome to listen to get great ideas for your local fantasy leagues.
Welcome to the Coach and Commish Podcast. No, not John Gruden, and definitely not Roger Goodell. It's Chris and Sean breaking down fantasy football for the everyday man.
Welcome back to episode 105. Yes, you are here with a Coach and Commish. I am John Gruden, and that is the
definitely
Roger Goodell.
Not
that he is definitely
Roger Goodell
in our league. Yes, he's Roger Goodell. Can you guys back me up on that? No, I'm Chris, and to my right is Sean here. And let's talk about it, man. We
got some new stuff going on.
Jumped straight in to our rebrand.
Yeah. So if you heard, there was a interesting fellow introducing us there, sounding very sportscastery. No, it was not Chris. I'm sure many people will think that it's the same gravelly voice that Chris has, but
much better than mine. Much better than mine.
But no, we've hired out and we're stepping up.
We graduated a whole new level. We're taking it to the big leagues with that. But you see a new logo that you guys have probably seen on all of our social media accounts, done here by Sean, with some help, some assistance out there in the world wide web.
Yeah, the Fiverr world. It's a fantastic place. You know, if you want to sponsor us, Fiverr, just, you know, hit us up down in the comments.
Throw it to us, man. We'll take anything. But yeah, so that's really it. We shrunk down. You guys know there's just two of us, so that's what kind of started the conversation, rebranding, and we really like it. The Coach and Commish.
Yeah, he's a high school coach. Mm-hmm. Coaches high school football and all sorts of other sports. Yeah. And I'm just an everyday commissioner of a fantasy football league that I've been doing. How long have we been going?
This is year 4 or 5.
Of the podcast? No, I'm talking about of our league.
Of our league?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've commissioned for over 10 years. We'll just
over
say that.
Years,
I don't know what my exact resume is, but I've been a commissioner for a long time, so that's kind of where the coach
I was in the league at least 3 years because I've got at least 3 rings.
doesn't cease to remind me of
such
that.
Such a douchebag insert by me. Okay. Yeah. But as we said earlier, this is our rules meeting. So for non-local league members, you probably love to hear exactly what we talk about in our league meetings. And this happened last weekend, right?
Yep, last weekend. What we do is every offseason, we reevaluate our league's rules. And we like to kind of stay with the trend, see what's new. Mm-hmm. I like to make things more competitive, fix things. That's the time to do it. I mean, you'll hear lots of people say that in the offseasons when you've got to fix your league. And that's what we did. So on last Sunday, yeah, we had a meeting and we're just going to kind of recap you. It'll mostly be for the guys in our league who weren't there. I'm calling you out, Morgan. I don't know why you didn't come from Florida for just
fly
a fantasy rules meeting.
You, Michael,
the dedication Lewis. Needs to happen, but
what's up?
But for, like you said, for other people that aren't in our league, it'll just be interesting to hear these. We've heard these from other podcasts as well. So it's just kind of cool to hear the ideas of what other leagues are doing.
Yep. But just a reminder, number one, when's our draft?
So our draft is going to be on the 6th, which is Labor Day. It's a Monday, and it'll be at 7:30 p.m. So you out-of-towners that didn't hear that, start booking your flights, make your way in here. If you can't do so, hop on the Zoom or FaceTime, whatever we decide to do. But that's when it's going to be, 7:30, September 6th. Mark your calendars, because there will be no adjustments after this point.
Andy's in Colorado, so make sure you
And no auto-drafters. I know it's said every year, but if you auto-draft, It's definitely a reason for being kicked out of the league. So
yeah. And like many leagues, we've got a keeper lock date. Keeper is an awesome format to play in. And our keeper lock date is when, Sean?
It's going to be Monday, August 23rd. I believe that's 2 weeks before the draft actually happens. We like to do it right after the preseason game that matters has finished. That way you don't have any injury issues. You're not keeping somebody who goes out there in preseason and injures himself. Yeah, so that's when it'll be. You know, same old, nothing new here with our first two little rules.
And if major injuries happen, we do adjust.
Speaking of injuries.
The 2IR spot was, it was a lot longer conversation than we both thought was going to happen in that meeting there. So we were looking at two different ways to address our, you know, injury reserve. Can you tell us where we landed?
So for the rest of these, just a spoiler, we didn't land anywhere with any of these. So you will need to vote if you're in our league because we did not get unanimous anything. Yeah. I think we put some polls up already in our Sleeper chat. Shout out to Sleeper. Fantastic way to go about your league.
Sponsor the show.
Yes. Yeah. Sponsors left and right. If you guys, you know, we're looking to be sponsored if you can't tell.
Yeah.
But no, the two IR spots, what I presented the rule for was because last year we added additional because of COVID, you needed to have those extra ones that were COVID only. That was fun to navigate as a commish. If any of you other commissions out there, you know how that was, trying to get people to legit put COVID people in there, not other people. Anyways, before we had COVID, we had a one IR spot, and that was it. I liked the idea of having the several because one of the guys in our league, Tim, had Saquon Barkley. What happens in a keeper league is if that player, like he did last year, gets hurt early in the season, you're now locked up to keep that IR spot completely filled with that keeper, and then you don't have the flexibility that IR is supposed to provide you, which is when you have players week to week that aren't going to be playing, you can slot them in there, pick up a bench player that you can start, or, you know, there's just lots of fun strategy with having those IR spots. So I was proposing that we go to two IR spots. That way we could, you know, kind of negate that type of thing of happening. What we ended up deciding on was we're going to vote whether we just go back to the one, which, like I said, the downfall is that you will lose the opportunity. If your keeper goes down, you're just going to lock up a spot and then you won't have any other IR spots. And that would be the first option going back that we had. The second option would be that we insert a second IR spot, but it will be strictly for that situation, for a long-term IR and a short-term IR. So the short-term is the same as it's always been. Slot them in and out. As long as they're in sleeper eligible, they can go in there. The second one will be for your long-term, meaning you put them in there, they're out for the season, you will not touch them. They can be kept, but that's how it works. I think we're a little murky on how we're going to actually logistically do that. I think we're going to try to maybe have them be dropped, and then I will have you just kind of denote when you drop somebody saying, hey, I'm dropping Saquon, he's my long-term IR, he's staying on the pool, and then when the season's over, I as the commish will go in and add him back to your team so you can keep him.
Yeah, and the argument with
sorry, that was a mouthful there.
Yeah, that was a ton there, but you know, people scared of the two IR spot really bringing too much dynasty feel.
Yes, you too know, much off the bench. I mean, off the waiver wire. Is
yeah,
really what
and it's like, hey, it's a sucky call there for your big player on the IR spot, but that feels your one. You got to make that call. It allows waivers, like you said, just to be more exciting.
Yeah,
when
we don't want to lose
up more spots.
When we went to 12 teams, which, you know, depleted the player pool, and to do the second IR, I do agree that that would. I would be fine with it just being an overall. I enjoy the dynasty aspect of diving deep into the waiver wire, but I know there are others, David, who do not like to dive so deep on that
and
waiver
Mike,
wire.
My brother, he does
and
not.
So I am perfectly fine with this change. So, like I said, get on. We're gonna put these all up for vote. That's kind of our explanation of it. If I didn't present the other side the way you would have liked, jump in our chat and, you know, let us know.
All right. So you're going to explain this a ton because this is where your burning passion for fantasy comes from.
It's going to be short, unfortunately.
Extermination of kickers. Sean and I both want kickers out of our league, but we still got to vote on it, right?
I'm gaining ground, we'll say.
We're not there yet.
Every year in our league, I have petitioned. But I mean, it's got to be at least 4 years straight now of me trying to get rid of kickers. And I think I started at maybe me and two other people that voted for it. And we got up to, I think, I didn't check Sleeper recently, but I think it was going to be like a 6-6, which would be a straight down the middle, 50-50.
And then commissioner decides.
Yeah.
There we go.
That sounds good.
Adding that rule in now.
Unfortunately, I think it's going to be, you have to keep what was originally in place. So
yeah,
it just means I'm closer. I'm going to keep working on you. I just need... Daniel said I was this close. All I had... If Young Wei-Koo didn't go off, he was considering swaying to my
Young Wei-Koo
kicker side.
Got his car stolen. Only kickers get the car stolen. That's why they don't belong in fantasy.
Yeah, so you've heard my spiel. I don't need to go into it. I just think it's a waste of time when we're playing. I play fantasy football for fun. I do not have fun looking at who the heck is going to be randomly a good kicker that week.
You know, Sean, what else is fun? Defenses. What? Eliminating defenses, we still need all the votes in for that. Looks like defense are staying around for another year.
Yep. So that's another one that we're voting on is it's the same type of thing. It's just, it's a more random position to really guess on. It's, I think David presents it as he simply didn't want to have it because he had to waste waiver wire on it, on it.
Yeah, when you're wasting fab on a defense, you know you're going to drop in like 2 weeks because their matchup's terrible. Yeah. It really does kind of, I mean, the positive spin is strategy.
Yeah.
If you're going to, you know, go week to week with waivers on a defense or pull a Ryan Mecca, shout out to the to the GOAT, draft Pittsburgh at round 10.
Yeah.
Okay, like there's a strategy behind it, but I just don't think they're worth that.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's going to stay. I think that's one in there that was pretty, we lost that one as far as getting the defenses eliminated.
All right, so the next one here, if you give us a quick recap, because this one's a little more straightforward.
It won't be quick.
6.4 point QBR scoring for touchdowns.
Yeah, so this
touchdown
one I do want to spend a little more time on because I know the guys that weren't in the meeting, they may have some question on what this actually means. So, you know, put simply, it's as Chris just said, it's 6 points for a passing touchdown instead of the previous 4 points. What that means is, and the reason that I believe we should do the change is right now rushing quarterbacks are already incentivized more because of their rushing ability. And then to add an extra 2 points per touchdown they run in compared to a passing touchdown, I think is unfair to the quarterbacks of... It's funny, I was talking to Morgan and I kept saying Matt Ryan. For some reason, Matt Ryan is my go-to, like, does not rush, but will throw passing touchdowns quarterback.
Oh, he does not run.
So he's a guy that you currently, with the scoring system we have, I feel like streaming him is not very viable because he will not rush anything in. And, you know, you're more looking for his passing prowess, not his rushing. So, I don't know. It comes back to that idea of the, I like to kind of reflect who's actually a good quarterback. And if you do the 4 point for a passing and then 6 for a rushing, it kind of can skew some of those stat lines where they have a terrible day, but they ran in some touchdowns. So, they just are fantasy dominant.
Yeah. Man. I just say even out the playing field, but get in there and vote. Guys who are not in our league are listening. Tell us what you guys do and how that's fared for your leagues. Different formats in there, but we just want to even the playing field.
Yeah, there. And for the other side of it, what people are concerned about is the quarterback getting more points. Like if it's now weighing that the quarterback is already a highly used position or a highly scoring position, then to add an additional 2 points to every touchdown they throw seems like it will weight it more. From the research that I've seen, this isn't like something revolutionary that we're doing. There's a lot of leagues that do the 6 point passing touchdown. And what they've said is it mostly just affects the quarterback position. So it may bump up quarterbacks a little bit in our draft. That's one place to keep in mind. If we do make this change, you know, when you're making your draft strategies, just be aware there may be teams that now are going to draft in the fourth and fifth round a bunch of quarterbacks,
yeah.
Whereas before our league is one that waited very late. So just keep those in mind. But it is up for a vote still, so get in there and vote.
All right, next draft order. For the playoffs / lottery, we ran into a Phil rule, a tanking situation. Phil was
there. A couple of those on here.
Defending him. He was there at the league meeting, so he definitely knows what we're talking about. But we wanted to do something, incentivize the guys more outside of the playoffs those last few weeks. What are we going with?
Yeah, so the rule came into place because we had tanking. And I don't like tanking. Especially when you're trying to make a playoff run and you've got a team that is literally trying to lose a fantasy football game, which is very easy to do.
Yeah,
you just sit everyone.
Sit everyone.
Or put in ODU players.
Never saw that happen. Never seen that before.
So we're trying to take that part away because he is incentivized to do so. I understand why he did it. If you want the first pick in our draft, that's how you get it. You lose all your games when you realize you're not going to make the playoffs. So my idea was to make a playoff for the losers. And I think it does two things. What it will do is, I mean, explaining it first, it's just literally, just like there's a playoff bracket for a champion, there will now be a playoff bracket of the losers to get the first pick. And I think what it does is it gives, as being the guy on the outside looking in, very often out of the playoffs, it gives you something to look forward to those last few weeks. You get to play in something that has meaning. You're trying to play for a better draft spot next year.
Yeah.
And the other thing it will do is get rid of the tanking aspect because we're going to make it so that the seeding is based on how close you got to making the playoffs. So the person who gets seventh place, just misses the playoffs, will get to play the person who got 12th place and then, you know, have an easier matchup, have a better chance. So really, that the crux of it is just trying to make it so that at the end of a season, no matter if you're making the playoffs or you're not, you're trying to win games so that it's competitive and people that make the playoffs don't just get to skate in because somebody sat all their players that week.
Right. Yeah, because when it comes down to that last week or two and coming for the sixth spot now, which is the last spot of ours, yep, and there was three teams or four teams fighting for that for us.
Yep.
You can't be the lucky guy going for the tank, playing the tanker that week.
Yeah, so the arguments against will probably be that you're now giving a team that's fairly good in the seventh spot the first pick in the draft if he wins the championship, which I would not say is a slam dunk. I mean, fantasy football is very volatile. You don't know what's going to happen. But honestly, that team is one, they're the seventh best team. It's not like they're in the top four. Right. They're not going to be, they obviously weren't that great if they couldn't make the top six. And then the other part of that is we're a keeper league. So the first two rounds are filled with keepers. So a lot of the times this doesn't even matter. Like currently Phil did this tanking, but he's most likely going to keep Alvin Kamara, which is his first round pick. So he's not going to get the first pick in our draft. It's going to be, is it Kittle and Bitts or Lorais?
Lorais will.
One of the two. Anyways, it's somebody else. And so I think, although this seems like a big change, you're going for the first overall pick, it may not mean that much is what I'm saying. It's not going to affect a ton, but it's, I think, a fun way for the losers to continue to play.
Right. And then next item here, kind of, it'll slightly adjust our rankings going into playoffs week to week, but we're going from a half win for the median,
mm-hmm,
going to one full win for top six scoring each week. We still need to finish the vote, but it looks like it's pretty unanimous. We're going to one full point.
Yeah, we needed to check one more thing. Daniel, our stats guy, our accountant,
co-commission,
was running the numbers and assistant to the regional commission.
Yes, assistant to the regional commission.
And he ran it all, and it made zero change, like in the playoffs, even for seeding. If we go to this instead of having a half win for the median, having a full win. Really, the biggest reason to do this is we don't have to worry about the spreadsheets anymore. Sleeper has it built in that we can click a little toggle, and now it will keep track of all this for us.
Shout out to the sponsor.
Yes, to Sleeper. You're awesome.
And then last item here, it just kind of came in last few days, 2 days ago, really, yesterday.
Because of you.
Yesterday.
Causing me headaches over here.
Clarification on keeper trades. Phil, we were texting last night about it. But we went back to some historical records. Kamish, tell us where we stand on keeper trades.
Yeah, so what was presented is...
In the off-season specifically.
Yeah, in the off-season, we're now in a dynasty league. This past year, we started a dynasty league. It's one of the first times we've been in it, and we enjoy that aspect of it. And I like bringing in as much of that as I can to a keeper league, but I think there's a place you got to draw a line, which is trading in the off-season with keepers, because... What was presented, present your trade, I guess, to kind of give an example.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm looking, jeez, now everyone's going to snipe my trade offer, but
we don't have to talk about
Alvin it. Alvin Kamara is on the trade block, mm-hmm, and I'm looking at, okay, I'm thinking inside keeper set. I got three guys I'm looking to keep, but I offer him Aaron Jones, who's a first-round keeper, just like Kamara, and then I'm giving him Patrick Mahomes, a third-round keeper. In my eyes, if Phil, accepts that, Mahomes, Jones become his keeper, then Kamara becomes mine. The question is, I want to keep Justin Jefferson as well. So my two spots of keepers, I'm still juggling in the air. Mm-hmm. More than likely is going to be Jefferson and Jones. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking on my roster right now that I see that was my keeper last year, like, let me see, I'll give Mahomes away. That will be an obvious keeper for Phil. But it looks like I get a leg up, because then I get to try to choose from somebody else that was in the pot of my keepers, which is an unfair advantage.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I landed on it was, I think we talked about this before previously in our league, and the problem with a keeper league versus a dynasty league is you don't keep your whole roster. So technically, that roster that you're seeing that you get to choose a keeper from is not they're not on your team. Like, once the season ends, they're just in this pool of possible keepers. They aren't locked into your roster. So to be able to trade those pieces is unfair. Another aspect I didn't even think about is that's kind of end of season. If that becomes a rule, what you could do is load up on all these possible keepers and then just trade them all away for great keeper value. So really, to keep it in the spirit of keeping instead of dynasty, being in a keeper league specifically, I think what we're going to do is we're going to make – you can kind of have a handshake agreement on these type of deals. If Chris wanted to make this deal, which it sounds less likely now that he's not going to be able to keep, you know, the pieces that he wanted in addition, you can do kind of a handshake deal saying, hey, I'm going to keep this guy. You're going to keep this guy. Do you want to trade? Then when the keeper lock date happens, then you can actually make that trade official. You'll let the commissioner know, and then I will go into the draft board and I will swap those players for however you want to do it. You can trade draft picks. I don't got an issue with that.
No,
I don't
see why. You did a couple of years ago, back 2016.
Yep, you can trade because those are your pieces. They're actually part of your team for 2021 or for the current season. So that's the way we'll have to do it. When keepers lock, then they can be traded. Before that, they're not on your roster, so they can't be. That's how I see it. If you have other things to say, jump in the chat. But I think that kind of makes it straightforward enough that that's how we should do it.
Yeah, so Phil, it just has to be that keeper lock thing. So what I was offering you was more of a advantage me and not a straight-up fair keeper-to-keeper trade.
Yep.
All right, so that's everything, even with the new rule that I threw in there last second.
So it was a mouthful, so an earful. I apologize if you got sick of hearing my voice.
But. Well, I wanted it to come straight from the source. That's why I didn't chime in, because if anything goes wrong, you can blame Sean.
That's the motto of our league.
Anyways, guys, if you have any feedback on that, jump back on our Sleeper app, vote on those things that still need to be voted on. Let us know if we messed up anything in our clarifications with some of those complicated rules that we're trying to vote on.
Yep.
But that's all we have for today's podcast. Anything else, Kamish?
Just stay tuned. This will probably release over the weekend, but in the coming weeks here in August, we're going to be releasing our rankings. We're going to try to go down. I think we might have two each on the running backs and wide receivers, and then we'll have a QB and a tight end episode each. So we're going to try to start pushing content more. Check us out on YouTube. We're going to try to gear things even more towards the YouTubes. Mm-hmm. And check out our thumbnails. I think I'm going to train Chris on how to do some expert-looking thumbnails. So if they're terrible, now you can blame Chris instead of me.
just blame me. Train old dog new tricks here. All right, guys. Thanks for listening, and deuces.
Deuces. Tim. Check out the outro here.
It's great.
Thanks for listening to the Coach and Kamish podcast. Don't forget to check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Coach and Kamish. And join our Facebook group called Fantasy Football Advice with the Coach and Kamish for direct access to weekly waiver wire and start sit advice.